Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Caper.io. Today we have Kate. Kate is a Senior Vice President at Mass Challenge. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited for the conversation.
So can you give us a brief background about yourself, what you've been doing prior to Mass Challenge?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been at Mass Challenge for about 2 years. And prior to that, spent my career in a couple different roles, thinking about how I can support individuals at the frontier of solving major challenges. So 5 years at Social Finance, which was a nonprofit startup developing novel financing solutions to scale high-performing nonprofits, help grow and build that organization and bring those investment products to market. Several years at Harvard Business School, where I was working on impact investing and ESG investing, again, in the spirit of how do we get capital into the hands of those solving massive challenges. And then arrived at Mass Challenge, where I have the benefit of working with more than 200 startups a year who are early in the journey of moving from insight to scale, but have big ambitions, meaningful solutions to bring to the field. And we think of our job as corralling resources, network support, building that privilege that helps startups launch and grow.
Got it. Thank you so much for that. So just trying to keep the conversation relevant towards the last 12 to 15 months, the more interesting 15 months, you know, just very devastating of what happened. So, you know, if we go back in March, April, May last year, right? So you're working with 200 startups a year, you know. So in March, April, May, I clearly remember conversations happening. If you're not into telehealth, you're doomed. VCs are pulling out the term sheets, you know. If you don't have money for the next 18 months, you know, whatever money you get, whatever valuation you settle, just settle for it. Just get the money in the bank. You know, these kind of things happening and talks happening around early stage startups. Kind of familiar? And if yes, what kind of advice were you giving to founders back then?
Yes. I mean, what an extraordinary year it's been. And that particular period of time was acute for most of us, and particularly for early stage companies. You know, we work with 200 startups a year, and we have almost 3,000 alumni. So, you know, at that point of the year last year, it was really about crisis management. So for early stage companies, those who are pre-product market fit, you can think about, you know, how can I continue to advance the work that I need to do to validate my solution when the world is basically on pause. So what we were advising startups, and then you think of our alumni, sorry, later on who are, you know, in market, working with customers, selling, as you mentioned, fundraising larger rounds. And the you know, the challenge was the distraction, both personally and professionally, for professionals in the startup and the corporate and the investor community. So when we reached out to alumni, what we guided them on was first and foremost, you know, how do you secure what you have in the immediate term, and then probably with a longer term horizon. You know, our perspective was, while there is a huge amount of uncertainty, it is probably not a month of disruption. It's probably more than that. So as you think about securing your business, you should have that longer term time frame. And we, you know, we also guided companies at the same time not to go to internal, right? So once we got through that May, April period, was very much about the transition, the risk management, the crisis management for many. But then, you know, as we began to settle in, it was about pushing to be back out there, having conversations with customers or investors or potential partners, because what we saw was, with everybody at home, again, once we got through that crisis point, people had a lot of time. And so there was actually, you know, the silver lining here was there was opportunity even for early stage companies to have conversations that they may not have been able to be having, or fundraise from investors who were previously more location driven.
Got it. Makes sense. So yeah, interesting time. So July, August, September, October onwards, you know, things about discussions about mental health, Zoom fatigues, and those kind of things happening. So I'm just kind of like bringing up these because, you know, our podcast series is called Founders Create. So we just try to kind of like learn and discuss the kind of challenges the founders went through or have gone through, right?
Oh, yeah.
So in that regard, you know, July, August, September, October onwards, the discussions were happening around primarily mental health, Zoom fatigue, those kind of things, you know. So did your startups face those kind of challenges as well? And what kind of like piece of advice you were giving them? So, you know, we've heard multiple of them. So I would like to hear yours and I can share the ones that we heard.
Oh, good. And I'd be curious if you are hearing other things. I mean, first of all, under the best of circumstances, it is extraordinarily difficult to be a founder. The personal pressures, the professional pressures are meaningful. And so, you know, mental health is something we think a lot about and talk a lot about with our founders under the best of circumstances. When we looked at last year, you know, there were several key issues, I think, that our founders were grappling with. The first was often family or personal life. So the challenge of being a founder, running a business, and the intensity that comes with that, while also potentially homeschooling your children, dealing with loved ones who are at risk given their jobs, right? Like this is incredibly complex and challenging for founders to, you know, to manage. The second was, you know, the loneliness of being a founder and having all of these decisions to make is even more acute when you are actually alone, right? And so, so much harder for founders to have, build, maintain the community that we see as essential to that healthy and also successful journey. And then the last is, you know, how do you create energy and, you know, both give and receive energy from the small teams you may have in a Zoom environment? And this is not, you know, unique to startups. I think it's shared across many of us as we learn to adapt to the virtual environment. But rebuilding how you think about creating that culture and that vibrancy that can, you know, feed the soul of the founder. So, you know, these were the kinds of conversations that we were having. At the same time, you know, the Zoom fatigue, making it even harder to connect with people who may be able to address some of those pain points, because the idea of getting back on Zoom at the end of the day is just too much to bear. So, you know, what the kinds of things we were advising our startups on are pretty simple. One was make sure you do have a community of people that you can safely connect with, whether that is outside, masked or not, that you can, you know, stay in touch with that small pod of people. The second, for many of our founders, they explored different locations in order to be able to be outside more, find healthier ways to have leisure and recreation, for example. And so, you know, we encourage that. We always encourage founders to think about the alternative forms of mental health, whether it's meditation or therapy, we have strong peer cohort models, again, for founders to create community across each other. And then the last, and this is always the hardest for founders, but strongly encouraging them to think about where and how they take breaks. You know, even as the owner, there must be a point in time in the day and the week that you turn off your computer and find relief from the work that you're doing.
Got it. Makes sense. So interesting. Now, that was a good answer. One of the best answers I've heard.
We care a lot about our founders.
I'm just kind of like, you know, for me, I'm forced by my marketing team. I hate you guys, but you know, I'm forced by them to keep all of these podcasts within 12 minutes. But you know, I'm definitely having you as a guest on our webinars. We do them once every 2 months. I'm definitely having you as a webinar because I see such wealth of knowledge when it comes down to startup world, just on the other side of the court, Last two questions.
Right.
Okay. So, with the vaccine rollout happening at a record pace and everything happening, how the world's acceptability from the VC point of view of investing in companies that, because what used to be called offshore is now remote. Everything is remote, right? Mm-hmm. So even if the founder is in New York or Canada or Tel Aviv or London or South Asia, right? And same goes for the hiring talent and everything, right? So the new term has been coined remote, right? So do you think that with this happening, the world will see a balance shift, when it comes down to startup ecosystem? Primarily, it used to be just the West Coast, mm-hmm. with the East Coast doing something to it. But do you see this evolving, this mindset changing?
Yeah, we personally, and also, from the Mass Challenge perspective, we're excited about the trends that we're seeing within our own community and data. And then also, I think starting to see indications of more broadly. I mean, we know that innovation is everywhere. In our own applications, only 7% of companies come from California. The rest are from around the world, including, all 50 states of the United States. And so the experiment that we've been forced into over the past year has required VCs to do work differently, which has made geography, perhaps less of a decision criteria than it has in the past, certainly less of a barrier to be looking at and working with startups. So we're hopeful that that will ultimately have them looking at and ultimately funding startups, well outside the Silicon Valley area. Second is we're seeing, human capital migration, which is also exciting. We know that density of knowledge and density of networks is important to innovation. And so if we can, distribute the extreme density that was in California to other parts of the country, supported by, our better muscle memory and practice in the virtual operating environment, that makes us really hopeful that we will see not only funding, but sort of innovation activity, entrepreneurial activity grow. Yeah. And I mean, you look at what's happening in Atlanta, Detroit, Chicago, Dallas, Austin, Miami, right? Like there's a lot of exciting stuff that's happening. And we know entrepreneurs are interested in exploring other areas. So we're keeping an eye on it, and we're pretty positive on it.
Got it. So last question, Gaten. Your own personal productivity hacks through Zoom, being stuck at home with family, without family, I don't know. But, everyone started developing their own personal productivity hacks that helped them go through the day, because everyone had different kind of pressure, the work routine changed and all. So what kind of habits you adopted during this whole time?
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's been such a learning curve for me also. You go from the panic into that period where you're on Zoom all day and you think your brain's going to explode, and now hopefully to a slightly more balanced state. A couple things I'd share that are personal to me, but maybe have broader lessons. One is I figured out my creative time of the day, and for me that's morning, and I basically tried to carve it out so that I can get my creative or high thinking work done early in the morning. So sometimes that means waking up earlier and then taking a break. Sometimes that means blocking my calendar. But I think that has been one thing that's definitely boosted my productivity. The second was I built in a faux commute, if you would, to my day. So I have kids, I wake up, it's a little crazy in my household. Yeah. And then instead of sitting at my desk at 7:45 and working through till 6:30, I, started commuting around the block with my coffee and listening to interesting podcasts, hopefully like this one, to to, you know, give myself a break and let me settle in. And then the last one, and I know this has been, you know, well sort of researched and promoted, is when you don't need to be on camera, when Zoom is not important, it's great to take a break from the medium and use phone, or even, you know, take it offline and collaborate in other ways. And, you know, that, that gives your brain and your energy a little bit of a break.
Yeah. No, interesting. Interesting. For me, you know, the only thing, I have two kids, a boy 8 and daughter 4, and, you know, they're pretty energetic. So what I've done is I started taking my breaks at lunchtime. Mm. So from lunch till for the next 3 hours, I have lunch with them and then I play with them for a couple of hours. So instead of playing with them before bedtime, I now play with them during the day. So that kind of like helps me play with them in the backyard, the front yard, kind of like those of activities. And it's been kind of like interesting and rewarding. But yeah, it's been interesting. Kate, thank you so much for being on the show. You know, we would love to have you on one of our webinars, but for the podcast, it's a goodbye. Thank you so much and take care of yourself and stay safe.
All right. Thank you so much for the opportunity and stay safe also.